land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island.
In some ways, Sharon Jones is an unlikely soul music star. She's barely 5 feet tall. For years, she worked as a guard at Rikers Island. She sang in wedding bands. She didn't release her first album until she was 40, got her first Grammy nomination at 58. But when you hear her sing, it all makes a lot of sense. In recent years, Sharon has had to overcome more than just stereotypes about size and age. In 2013, she was diagnosed with stage 2 pancreatic cancer, just as she was getting ready to release the album that would get her that first Grammy nomination. Her battle with cancer and return to the stage are the subject of a new documentary from Academy Award-winning director Barbara Kopple. It's called Miss Sharon Jones. It opens at the IFC Center this Friday, and I'm very happy to welcome Barbara Kopple and Sharon Jones to the show. Welcome, you guys.
Hi, glad to be here.
Thank you. We love it.
Thank you so much for being here. Sharon, I'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Let's set up a little bit of your backstory here, how we came to today. I know that you were a backup singer for years. You know, you sort of had a long, winding path to get to where you are today.
Yeah.
Did you always feel like this was the plan?
Well, I always wanted to sing, you know, maybe like in the late 70s and going into the early 80s, I thought I would, you know, make it as a little singer, you know, make, you know, do some stuff. But things changed, and it seemed like the type of singing that I was used to and the pop was changing, and you know, the younger, they was getting younger, and Whitney was coming in, and you know, and they voices changes, and Stephanie Mills, and you know, then she's went out because soul, you know, soul music, I watched soul music go and the pop come in and take over, and I saw my opportunity to be that singer, like, okay, I could do church and background and direct choirs, and I mean, I never stopped singing, and that's the road I took.
Were there times that you thought maybe that dream of sort of you being out front with your own band might not pan out?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be with my own band out, like just doing that. Maybe I thought I'd be doing some background stuff or maybe some duet stuff in a studio with some soundtracks and some machine drums. You know, that stuff.
And Barbara, I want to bring you in. How did you end up making this film? Tell us about your road to here.
My road to here was an absolutely wonderful road. Sharon's really dedicated manager, Alex Cavdan, decided there needed to be a film about Sharon Jones.
That's Cavdan.
Cavdan, yeah. And so he went to VH1 and he started to talk to them, and he was so impassioned that they said, absolutely. And before a week was up, I was on the film. I was very happy.
And was the decision to make the film before or after Sharon's diagnosis?
After.
Okay. And Sharon, you worked so long and so hard to get to the point that you got with Give the People What They Want, which is the album that came out, that was scheduled to come out right at the time you got your diagnosis. Before you got the diagnosis, as that album was getting ready to come out, what were you feeling about it?
We was getting prepared. I was, we had promotional setting up for me to go to Europe a week or so ahead, the band, to start promoting the album. And then I just got sick. I mean, I just couldn't. And I was like, well, we better go check to these doctors and see what's going on with my eyes, why they're yelling, why, you know, I'm not, you know, things, I'm itching and losing weight. And we found all of that out right at the time that we was getting ready to promote and I was going to go away. And that was like, I didn't even think. Then just when the doctor told me, this all was going on from May. I mean, the last time I did any singing was May of 2013. And then the next time I sang again, well, the big show was in February. So, but I'm like getting prepared and then this hit me and I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm not going to even be around to see, you know, to promote, give the people what they want. That for about a couple of hours, that thought went through my head. I was on my deathbed, you know, a couple of hours. And before my face locked in and you know, and being around me, and they filming me. These people had faith that, how am I going to do a film and I'm going to die? So that ain't made no sense to me.
You felt like they needed an ending.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, I got to reach this goal here, so let me live a little longer. So
right.
So, yeah. And
But did having a film crew around, like, how did that affect how you went through your treatment, knowing that sort of you were being watched and observed in that way?
Well, now that the film crew is there and knowing why, you know, seeing the love and the passion. I mean, just like what I have for my music, that's what these guys, I'm watching Barbara now every time we do these interviews. And she's like, you know, and I look for, you know, leave no stone, every bit of filming, because you never know what's going to be in the film. So she's like, just get it, and if we need it, we can use it. So I see that passion that she have and the filming of it, and they allowed me. They promised only to film what, you know, they wasn't all up in my, like I said, I don't want you filming me waking up in the morning in the bed. That's crazy. Nobody, no crew is going to sleep with me, you know. And they respected the wishes. And so seeing that and the film started, and now I'm an inspiration. It's therapy for me. And look what I'm putting out to other fans that's out there going through cancer. I have loved ones that's going through this. So if I can inspire someone to don't give up, life, every sickness isn't unto death, and just be a fighter. And so that's what I saw to my message coming out.
I'm talking with Sharon Jones, soul singer, the woman who performs with her band the Dap Kings, and Barbara Koppel. She is the filmmaker behind the film Miss Sharon Jones, which opens at IFC Center this Friday. And Barbara, you know, Sharon is a great performer. Anyone who's seen her live knows that. But as a documentary filmmaker, you're, I'm sure, looking to get beyond the performer to the person. How did you navigate that?
Well, whenever I make a film, the only important thing in making a film is to find out who somebody is and what they're about and just allow them to bloom and to come alive. And that's how I do my films. They could be a coal miner from Eastern Kentucky, or Woody Allen and his jazz band, or whoever it is. They're just people, and I just want to tell their story. And when I get those moments, they're like treasures for me.
But when the person, when your subject is a person who is accustomed to performing for people or for a camera, does that present an extra challenge?
No. It doesn't present an extra challenge. Sharon is this amazing entertainer, and even if she was in the most dire of circumstances, she would bring sunshine and passion and laughter into whatever room she was in. And so that's how I looked at it. And then when she did perform, which was probably for me one of the most incredible, challenging scenes, which was at the Beacon, and she didn't know who she was going to be. She didn't know what she was going to do. She really hadn't sang in public in maybe 7 or 8 months. And this was going to be her first night out. And she was behind stage, and she was holding a cup, and she was nervous, and she was trying to get her wits about her. And then suddenly, Binky just yelled, "Miss Sharon Jones!" And she came out like a prize fighter, and she just killed it. She was just wonderful.
Yeah, and I was at that concert. It was an amazing show. Tell me about that moment, Sharon.
Oh, it was, I mean, I always get nervous before a show, but not like that night. I was a bundle of nerves, and not telling the band members and, you know, everyone knowing that, with the chemo, you do forget, you know, your brain get clogged. And I didn't know how much of that was going to, I mean, I always have problems missing my lyrics. But these were new songs, and we should have had monitors and stuff set up. But you know what? Everything worked the way it was supposed to work. And the lyrics came to me.
Right. Well, it's captured in the film in the very first songs.
The very first couple lyrics, of ballads.
Right, you had some trouble. But it felt like as the concert wore on, you got stronger and stronger. And it came, you know, you by the end of the show, you were on fire.
I was like, feeling myself. I was almost back to that. Pinky said 110 pounds of soul. I was. I felt like I gave maybe 90 that night.
Right, 90 pounds out of 110.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, the audience was so with her. You could just feel the adrenaline, and then she was giving it back. And Sharon is so honest. She's the real deal. She's genuine, and she just said, "I'm testing out what I can do with you guys." And they love that. They love to be part of it and not excluded from it. So Sharon brings them in and has them fight for her, and she fights for them, and then the performance is amazing.
Yeah, because for some reason, the management had wanted to wait a while before announcing the album, you know, try to wait as close to February date, releasing the album or letting people know about my camp. I said, "You're crazy. I'm going to go from June to almost like December, January before I tell my fans I have camp. You know, no, this is not going to, I'm not going to do that. And the hair is coming out and I'm going to want to post pictures and I want my fans to know what I'm going through with." And we made that decision in a couple of weeks instead of months. And I went and told the fans, and that's what got me through. That was my strength. That was my energy. I was laying in that bed reading fans. I mean, how many praying? Even people, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God and all this. But, you know, whatever you believe in, and you, I mean, just so much stuff came to me. And I cried, and I said, I'm going to do this.
And one of the most powerful scenes in the film is when you go back down south to where you grew up, and you end up singing in a church. You weren't even sure.
Well, actually, that church you saw me singing in was in Queens in New York.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's... well.
That was my church in New York. That's the last church I've been in the last... since I was 14 years old.
Okay. So, but tell me about that experience.
That was my first time singing. That night in the church, getting up singing, and actually the film... who filmed
it?
Gary. Caught all of that. That was one. It wasn't no cut, do that again, and let me move in close. That was nothing you, and that was my first singing. I mean, I hadn't sang in months. So to get that out and to be in church, and that's where I like, Lord, if I can sing this here, I'm going to be ready for February. That wasn't something I put on. People don't, if you don't go to church and if you're not into that, that is a spiritual thing as a spirit comes over. And I get those basically at night when I'm on stage. When people go, "Miss Sharon," I walk out. It's like almost out of body, out of mind. It's a whole different spirit take on.
And she's not feeling any pain when she walks
no
out
pain.
On
right.
that stage.
And I was able to shout in there and sit down. And I could barely walk up those steps in there. So that was my first time even moving, dancing, and singing.
How is singing in church different from singing at a concert in a club?
In church, you're just singing. You know, it's coming from your heart. I mean, and I play a lot of that stuff. I start to jump on that organ and start playing, too. Seemed like the organ player couldn't pick me up fast enough. But you know what? That was, I didn't want to do that because that would have took away from, you know, everything was meant to be. And I had to, a couple of seconds, just like catch myself. Like, and nice, because he annoyed me that he couldn't pick that up, and you know, I had a little words with him anyway, so that's some other different stuff. I don't want to go there.
Right.
I don't like anything negative, and so when them little negative thoughts came at me, like, go over there, get him off the organ, and you play it and do it yourself, and then something to know, you get up here, you sing, you know, you do it without music if you had to, and I'm so glad I did that and went to church, and they was there to film it, and the church allowed, and it just all worked.
Right.
But that was real. That wasn't no fake. That wasn't no put on.
And, right. And I want to skip back to that concert at the Beacon Theater, which was your big return concert after your cancer treatment, and it's shot in the film. Barbara, from your perspective as the director, what are some of the... That's got to be a hard scene to shoot. you know, to get everything you want without getting in Sharon's way, because she's also she's trying to put on a performance for the people in the building. You're trying to capture something. How do you deal with that?
Well, we had five cameras, and then we had one documentary camera, me and Gary sort of floating around. But we're the last thing in the world that would get into Sharon's way. Sharon is in another place when she is on that stage, and she is connecting with that audience, and we're just there capturing it. And sometimes we creep in a little too close, and Alex would write me a text, move back, and I'd pretend, oh, I'm not going to get it for 5 minutes. But we just wanted to capture her. She was just so magnificent. And also in that scene, she thanked all the people who had helped her from Sharon Springs.
Well, right, all the and a lot of the doctors who treated you, Dr. Leonardo and the others, were in the audience for that concert. And one of the interesting things, because you know, they know you as a patient. They they know you as a woman who needs to be healed. They don't really know you as this star singer.
No, they were shocked.
So what was their reaction after seeing you perform like that?
He was like, they didn't know how I can do it, going through what I went through with, and all the medication and the operation. They were like, it's a miracle. They was amazed to see the energy I had.
Dr. Leonardo was throwing Sharon kisses, and his wife was just like crying and looking up at him, and Megan Holcomb, who is her great friend. I mean, all of them felt so good. And also the tribute that you gave to Dave Guy was so beautiful. Oh, he was so moved by that. Dave Guy has played with them for 20 years and tell the story.
Yeah, he wasn't a 20-year person with us. Dave Guy may have been the last 8 years or so in the band with us. But that night, a couple of days before the Beacon Theater was open up, I just got word from him that he was leaving the band, and he's going to be on Roots on Jimmy Fallon show, which his wife wanted him closer with the kids, and he was having two little kids, and on the road, like, I miss my kids, I miss, you know. You know, FaceTime and all that stuff is good, but, you know, missing the kids. And so he got his dream, and we got what we wanted. And
But it's interesting because, you know, and you talk a lot about your band in the film. You talk about, you guys are, I mean, in some ways, as we said at the top, you're kind of an unlikely soul star. You have an unlikely soul band, some of whom are these sort of like white Jewish boys, to use your words. But it works for you guys. But it also, you talked about some of the financial pressures.
We went through a lot of, I know what I was going through financially, you know, by like some of the insurance doctors wasn't covered, so you had to pay for, you know, they wasn't on this insurance plan, and so much money coming out. And
when you can't sing and perform, the band can't make money.
And I didn't know that, you know, what they didn't come to the hospital, oh, Binky this and that, and people losing their apartment. They kept that away from me because that probably would have put more pressure on me, but I knew I had to get back out there. The reason why, because of what I love to do, plus financially, and plus that's our jobs.
We have to wrap up, but I do want to know, how's your health today? How are you doing?
Today is one of my better days. I'm feeling pretty good after being on the road, and so I'm doing good.
Still fighting.
Right.
Well, Sharon Jones, thank you so much for coming. Barbara Koppel is the filmmaker behind the film. It's called Miss Sharon Jones. It opens this Friday at the IFC Center. For more information and tickets, visit wnyc.org/lopate. And my thanks again to Sharon Jones and Barbara Koppel for joining us today. Thanks to both of you.
Hi.